All right, come on now. Saints tonight. Look, it's easy to be down on the Saints. They started off 2-0. They've lost four in a row. Last week was an embarrassing loss. I'm sure you can think of times in your life when you made a comeback, a big comeback. You know, maybe you lost a sale or something with your work didn't work out the way you wanted it to. And you came back. You made a comeback. Why can't the Saints make a comeback? I'm Scoot on the air. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okanar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's talk about the Saints. We have an abbreviated show today because coming up at 3 o'clock, it's First Take with Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak. And then at 5 o'clock, it's the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby Hebert inside the Dome, Loge Level, Gate B, Atrium. Just go up there. That's presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Then Game Time with Deuce and Haas at 7:15. Turn down your TV and turn up the home team for sound. And then after the game, sound off with the Chirac Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Saints Broncos, 10 hours of wall-to-wall football coverage beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon on WWL AM/FM and WWL.com and live on the free Odyssey app. I mean, I'm hoping the Saints turn things around. Saints are 2-4. The Broncos are 3-3. Sean Payton coming back to the Dome, a big deal is being made about that. Mickey Loomis was talking on WWL recently, and he talked about this, and he said that this is not a revenge game for Sean Payton. This is just a game that he obviously wants to win. But Mickey Loomis said, it's not a revenge game. Sometimes you play against a team that you were with and you have bitter, angry feelings about that team. You want to beat them because of that. That's not this game with Sean. Sean loved his time here with the Saints. He has loved the city and the organization. But it's like playing against your brother. You know, you want to beat him and we feel the same way. It'll be a dogfight. He'll pull out all the stops. And we have to be prepared for that. I like that idea, but honestly, we're all human beings. And when you go up against somebody that you used to work for, now, the Saints didn't fire Sean Payton. So it's not like he has this revenge factor. He has to get back at the Saints. I agree with Mickey Loomis on that. But I can't help but think there's a little added incentive for Sean Payton to win. Also because the Broncos have been a little disappointing of recent. They're 3-3. So they're not setting the world on fire. And Sean Payton did not go into Denver and turn the team around right away. That rarely happens, to Sean Payton's credit. That you know, rarely happens. But, you know, honestly, I see this as a game with a lot of emotion. And I think Sean Payton wants to prove that, you know, that he made the right decision in leaving the Saints and going to the Broncos. I personally didn't like the way it all transpired because it, you know, kind of seemed like he used the Saints since he quit as coach and was kind of burnt out. And then he got his rest. And, you know, if he really wanted to, you know, coach again, why didn't he come back to the Saints? He could have come back to the Saints, but, you know, he went for the big bucks and the bigger city. And you can't blame him for that because that's just a factor in life. But, you know, I'd like to think that when you make a certain amount of money, when you get to a certain point, that principle and integrity are more important than just money. And I'm sure Sean Payton realized something that is pretty much a fact in life. It's easier to become number one than it is to stay number one. And I think Sean Payton reached a plateau with the Saints. They weren't going anywhere, and he wasn't able to do much in the situation with the Saints, so he quit. And I know he did a lot for us. I know he loved the city, but this is about business. And like Mickey Loomis says, Sean Payton's going to pull out all the stops. So, I mean, look, if the Saints fall victim, I mean, can they even do onside kicks now with the kicking situation the way it is? I mean, can you even do an onside kick? I'm thinking about this. But, I mean, you know, Sean Payton's going to do, you know, he might do something like he did in the Super Bowl, like an onside kick to start off the second half. Nobody was expecting that. And look, it's interesting because Sean Payton is the offensive guy. Dennis Allen is the defensive guy. And so it should be an interesting matchup. I hope Dennis Allen has got this team ready to play, because they seem to get complacent after a big second quarter in the last game against the Bucks, and they did not show up for the second half. And a lot of missed tackles. Now, let's face reality. The Saints have a lot of injuries. The offensive line, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, Taysom. Is Taysom Hill, do we find out yet, Ian, if Taysom Hill is going to play tonight? Or is that going to be a game time decision? All right, we're going to check that out right now. Because last night I think he was doubtful. So yeah, we're missing a lot of players. That's a fact. That's reality. And that's really, really tough. But there's still no reason the Saints can't turn things around, because all these guys are professional football players. They're all in the NFL. And so even though a player might have to step up because they didn't have the starting position, because maybe somebody was better than them, well, they've got a chance to prove tonight that they're better. I mean, some people, I guess, might even be able to put themselves in a position of winning a starting position. They weren't the starter. They've got a chance to play tonight. Man, I would be busting my ass to prove to the team, you made a mistake by not starting me. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, I'm getting the word now that Taysom Hill is doubtful for tonight. And as I mentioned earlier, why not find some plays where Spencer Rattler is the runner? You know, treat him like Taysom Hill, because he's a running quarterback. And teams that have running quarterbacks, they call plays where the quarterback is running. I don't remember seeing that in the last game. And it would be nice to see that in this game tonight. All right, let's go to New Orleans. And I'm sorry, let's go to Charlie. Charlie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot? It's been a while since I talked to you. I have a couple of things I want to comment okay. on, but I'll start with the Saints. First of all, Spencer Rattler, you may not want him to be the running quarterback, because you're down to maybe two quarterbacks, and you don't want to put him at risk of an injury. Two, I'm a high school football official. I've been doing this a long time. You can actually do onside kicks in the NFL, even today, but there's so many things. It's very hard to recover an onside kick, because you can't just leave and go on and immediately once he kicks it to go out, you got to wait. So there's things, and that's designed to prevent injuries. Thirdly, you got to look at the schedule going forward. What are the matchups? And you can turn around, because there's some games that are not as difficult as opponents. So that being said, and then also Sean Payton couldn't come back to the New Orleans Saints because Dennis Allen was a coach at the time. So when he was ready to do that, I mean, you're not going to – and that was just after 1 year they went 7-10. It would have been very unfair to fire him after the first year. So
let me ask you this about the onside kicks. With the format of the kickoffs now in the NFL, is it possible to do an onside kick?
You can still do it. Yeah, you can do it. I mean, okay. It's just that you have to wait. See, they can't leave until the ball. It's the way they're doing it to get to injuries and stuff, because a lot of people get injured. And I've seen a lot of people, in games I've done, a lot of injuries happen during kickoffs and stuff like that. So in their rules, safety rules, and put in for a good reason. So that being said, I do, I'm getting a little political. I do want to comment yesterday on the interview Kamala Harris did with Bret Baier, and I just watched an opening from 2023 where Bret Baier warms up and is all genial with Trump, and then he comes in with Harris yesterday. He basically said, he didn't say you bitch or whatever, pardon the expression, but he just immediately came in and attacked. And I see so much hypocrisy that that lies that are being told, whether it's the Haitian immigrants or the stuff on FEMA and all that, and this has gotten on, and people used to lecture us in the 1990s about character matters and how it's all changed. So I don't respect any of those people who used to preach that now and then. Well, it's totally different now. All they are is giant hypocrites on that. And at the end of all this, at the end of this election, then Trump may win, but by the time he leaves, he's going to leave them as a Category 5 disaster by the time he ends that. And you know, that's what – and it's not going to be good for the country because we'll – because one party will be so wiped out because of some person, a really despicable human being. So anyway, I'm glad to be back on the air with you. I'll always love listening to you. I keep doing what you're doing because you're basically in enemy territory here.
Well, I know that, and I'm not afraid. Charles, I really do appreciate the call and the comments. You know, Bret Baier was in a tough situation. I mean, here's a Fox News host. He's going to be criticized no matter what he does. You know, he's going to be criticized if he's not really rough on Kamala Harris. He's going to be criticized if he's too rough on Kamala Harris. So I respect the position that he was in. I didn't see much of the interview, but I've read a lot about what was said, and it seemed like he did become maybe he went a little overboard with becoming an attack dog, but he wasn't that way with Donald Trump. And I mean, this just points out what I've said all along. I'm not just making this up. Fox News is a pro-Trump cable network. The problem is a lot of people just watch Fox News. They just listen to conservative radio shows. They just tune in to conservative social media, podcasts and everything. Therefore, they don't hear everything. And so when they hear some things on this show, they think, oh, my God, Scoot's got to be making that up. I've never heard that before. No, we're not making it up. We're just telling you some things that if you live in that bubble, you're not hearing certain things. I mean, J.D. Vance just yesterday said, by the words I would use, Donald Trump did not lose the 2020 election. What does that mean? By the words that I would use. Can't anybody answer a question anymore? J.D. Vance cannot directly answer the question, did Donald Trump win or lose the election? Ted Cruz can't answer the question about how he feels about abortion and should there be exceptions for rape and incest. He can't answer that question. He refused to answer it during a debate. And his race in Texas against Colin Elbert is getting a lot closer. But, I mean, can't people answer questions? Donald Trump is asked a question, and he goes off into a completely different rant. It's not even related to the question. Can't people answer questions anymore? And if they don't answer the question, it's obviously because they don't want to. But, hey, I really want to focus on the Saints this hour. Mary from Metairie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I would appreciate if everybody tonight, whether you're at home or you're at the game, when Sean Payton comes through, you clap and congratulate that guy and his team. This is not about them. This is not about the game. This is Drew Brees making what's he making, the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay.
The Saints Hall of Fame,
and
yeah.
And the Saints Hall of Fame, thank you. And Sean Payton's going to be there and his old buddies and stuff. Think about what they did for our city right after Katrina. From 2006 and in 2009, we're in the Super Bowl. We needed that. Emotionally, those Saints, I think, kept us from going down crazy, you know. And nobody should boo Sean Payton. He did his job while he was here.
Mary, it's a great thought. That's a great thought. And I know a lot of people agree with you, and I appreciate you mentioning that on the show.
And I would just like everybody, when I listen, tune in tonight, you know, if anything, stand up and give him an applause. It's not because of Denver. When he walks out, what he did for our city, and even continue on, look, we just got injuries. That's all it is. I'm not worried about whether they win or lose. Let's appreciate who we had before and what they did. You know?
Mary, I totally understand. And, you know, what Mary's talking about is the Saints reflected the city. The Saints were motivated because of what the city had gone through. It just goes to show you how far motivation can go. And I believe that this Saints team tonight could be motivated to beat the Broncos tonight. The Broncos are 3-3. If the Saints beat the Broncos tonight, the Saints and the Broncos have the same record, 3-4. And so when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other teams, big-name teams expected to get to the playoffs with big-name quarterbacks who are not doing so well right now. So it's not time to give up on the Saints. If you've got a comment, you want to join us this afternoon, beautiful Thursday afternoon. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. We're coming back on WWL. All right, going to the Dome tonight. Make noise. Make noise. Make noise when they're in the huddle. Sometimes I hear the fans in the Dome. They don't start making noise until the team gets close to the line of scrimmage to call the play. I mean, I know that makes it harder for them to call the play. That's important. But we're also supposed to make a lot of noise when the team is in the huddle, because then it's harder for them to even call the play. I'm Scoot on the air, getting ready for Thursday Night Football tonight, the Saints and the Broncos with Sean Payton in the Caesars Superdome tonight. All right, the Saints are 2-4. They've lost 4 in a row. Not good. But any team can turn things around. The Falcons and the Bucks lead the division 4-2. The Panthers are 1-5. But let me share with you some of the records of some other teams, big-name teams expected to get to the playoffs with big-time quarterbacks. All right, the Broncos are 3-3. That's not that great. And if the Saints beat the Broncos, both teams have the same record, 3-4. The Dolphins, I know they lost their starting quarterback, but they're still a good team. They're 2-3. The Jets, maybe you heard of Aaron Rodgers. The Jets are 2-4. You think they're giving up? You think Rodgers has given up? You think he still expects to get to the playoffs? I think he does. The Bengals, Joe Burrow, love the new hair. The Bengals are 2-4. The Browns, they've got a big-time quarterback. They're 1-5. The Titans, 1-4. The Jags, another team with a big-time quarterback. The Jags are 1-5. The Chargers are 3-2. They've got a hell of a quarterback. The Raiders are 2-4. The Cowboys are 3-3. And the Rams are 1-4. So I would think that some of these other teams are not giving up. And those are big-time teams, many of them with big-time quarterbacks. And they're not giving up. So, you know, let's don't give up on the Saints. They're 2-4. I'm going into that Dome tonight. And I'll be honest, I'm not one of the fans that makes the most noise. You know, I don't scream a lot. I do have to protect my voice to some degree. But man, if you're a screamer, if you're somebody that makes noise, make noise tonight. I mentioned the other day that, you know, on the big screen in the Dome, when like defensive players are up there, and when the other team is on offense and the defensive players, there's video of a defensive player saying, I need you. They'll say, I need you to make noise. And I wanted to shout back, I need you to make tackles. But look, I hope things turn around for the Saints. And it can happen because, again, emotion, motivation is such a big factor. The Saints were so motivated after Katrina. That helped them, in my opinion, win the Super Bowl. Because that was the only one they won. So if a team finds a reason to be motivated, even if it's just from within themselves, they can do it. So let's see what happens tonight. This is a big test for the Saints, and they've got a lot going against them. And if the Saints lose, you know, honestly, it's not going to be all their fault because of the injuries. If you've got a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Some really great, smart text messages coming in here. Here's one that says, Saints fans need to show class tonight by cheering for Sean and applaud his entrance, as we are New Orleans, which is like no other place. Remind him what he has left behind. This type of welcome would never come from any other fan base, especially Denver. So come on, Houdat Nation. Let's show Coach Payton our appreciation for what he has given us, but only for his entrance. Fair game afterwards. Houdat, WWL, you have the power to convince and remind fans what to do tonight, and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. I mean, I personally have ambivalent feelings about the way Sean Payton left, but I don't blame him for wanting to go to a bigger city. I'm not going to cheer or boo because I don't know. Again, I'm not the noisemaker in the stands. I admit that. But for those of you who are the noisemakers, I mean, follow your heart, follow what you feel. And it's going to be interesting because every team that enters the field with their coaches is booed. Every opposing team is booed. Will the boos be louder or will the boos be mixed with applause? It's going to be interesting to see that tonight. And if you don't, I'm not sure you're going to, I'm sure you'll hear that on WRDO radio. I'm not sure you're going to sense that on TV, but we'll be here to talk about it tomorrow.
Here's a text that says, Sean Payton was a good coach. Drew Brees was a good player. Would either be great without each other? I have to think about how fate played into it. Bill Belichick drafted Tom Brady in the 7th round. Did he know he would be as good as he was?
No, and I agree that everything came together for that Saints team. And again, when you think about the intangible of motivation, you know, that doesn't go against the salary cap. Any team can be motivated. And motivation, you know, look at history. And again, I'm going to bring up the miracle on ice, the U.S. Olympic hockey team, Lake Placid, New York, the Olympics of 1980. Our hockey team, college players, amateurs, beat the friggin' Russians. It would be like a college team going against the best team of the NFL. And man, those Ruskies are mean. They're ugly too. And we beat them. And I think that was the result of motivation, just being inspired to play beyond the level that you're just, you know, used to playing at. You can go through the motions or you can really play. And the Saints in the second half of the game last week, they were just going through the motions.
I'll give you just three texts of a political nature here, and then I think we'll probably be done with these for the day, right? Let's do some football. Here's one that says, why does 79% of the country think that we are headed in the wrong direction? Because the Biden-Harris administration has been in control for 4 years, and Harris wants to turn the page from the past 4 years of incompetence.
You know, I understand that, but I also could argue that if Donald Trump was so great, as he's saying and as people are saying, if he's so great, how did he lose? And regardless of what J.D. Vance says or what anybody says, Donald Trump lost the election. He even admitted it, but then went back to, you know, saying he didn't win. I mean, he didn't lose the election, but we know he lost. So if he was so great, how did he lose? Well, he lost because at the end of his term, he wasn't that popular.
And I think to the texter's point about 79% of the country thinking we're headed in the wrong direction, that's pretty splashy. But it doesn't say that 79% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction because of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration. I think Republicans think that the country's heading in the wrong direction because Fox News has been screaming that at them every day for 30 years. And Democrats think that because they see that the Republican Party has been taken over and hollowed out by a maniac. So none of that has anything to do with Biden-Harris. It's just the state of our toxic politics in general.
That's true.
Here's a text message that says, I think most people know what Trump says is BS, but they don't care because they're tired of the left's BS. So the pendulum is swinging back to the right. Defund the police. What's that done for places like San Francisco and Minneapolis? DEI hires? What happened to meritocracy? Everything that goes along with the self-entitlement movement. Adam Carolla said it best. In the future, there will only be two places, safe places and octagons. And I think a lot of people are tired of safe spaces.
Well, I could be wrong here, but I don't think anybody actually defunded the police. I mean, that was right-wing rhetoric from the beginning. And there were people who talked about if we can take some money from the police and apply it to programs that would stop young people from becoming criminals, then that would be a good use of that money. But that was labeled in with defunding the police. But I don't know if any police department was actually defunded. So, again, right-wing rhetoric.
I think Seattle probably got the closest. But, you know, most people, again, there's gray area there that you have to understand. It's not like they just, you know, set the police budget to zero and fired everybody. They said, oh, we're going to try some different things with, you know, community outreach officers or do some of this other preventative stuff instead of just more cops on the street.
Yeah, and don't believe things that a few people say. I mean, there are people out there who think that there should be no police. Those people are maniacs. They're insane.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't have no police. So just because a couple of people say it doesn't mean that the majority of this country is behind it or the majority of Democrats are behind it.
This text, I think, is about Trump's remarks about the enemy within that we talked about yesterday and earlier today. Text says, it's not just Trump's remarks, but it's also the silence and or denial from almost all of the Republicans. That's even worse. Silence is violence waiting to happen.
If you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. You know, I'm telling you, people are so passionate about politics that even when we're dedicated to talking about the Saints, the afternoon before a big Thursday night game in the Dome against Sean Payton, where Drew Brees is going to be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame, you know, people still want to talk about politics. We'll get to a little bit of that tomorrow on Free For All Friday. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back on WWL. This is the band One Direction, that early popular boy band. Harry Styles was a member of that band. Former One Direction singer Liam Payne is dead. He was 31 years old, found dead after falling from a hotel balcony in Buenos Aires, Argentina. He apparently jumped from the balcony of his room. The hotel manager called 911. There was a guest that seemed to be overwhelmed with drugs and alcohol, and he was destroying the room, and he said, we've got to get somebody here right away. And before that could happen, he apparently jumped from the balcony. So apparently drugs and alcohol may have been involved. I don't know if they've continued or concluded with the autopsy yet, but I'm sure we'll find out more about that. But, you know, really sad news. This guy just moved into a $9,500 a month mansion. Can you imagine your rent or your mortgage being $9,500 a month? I don't know. Some of you listening may have that kind of situation. You know, I guess some people just can't handle unlimited amounts of money. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I'd like a shot at trying to handle it. But sad news. Liam Payne, one of the former members of One Direction, dead at the age of 31. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Also, you know, there's just interesting news about the Menendez brothers, and maybe we'll talk about this on the show tomorrow. But family members are trying to get them released from prison. The two brothers are in prison, and they killed their parents. But they killed their parents claiming that they were abused over the years, and they say it was justified, and some family members are pushing for their release. So it's an interesting story that has been developing. This is really amazing. Somebody was paragliding over the Great Pyramid of Giza, I guess it is. And he couldn't believe what he saw. He saw a dog on top of the giant pyramid. There was a dog up there at the top. Now, did the dog climb all the way to the top of the Great Pyramid? I mean, that's what people are speculating on right now. Just amazing. They haven't learned much about it. We don't know everything about it right now, but there's a picture of a dog on top of this giant pyramid. And again, how did it get there? And what led the dog to climb to the top? I mean, did the dog say, did the dog say, because it was there? I mean, that's why people say they climbed Mount Everest, because it was there. Also, look, this is really good news. We're getting an early prediction on the 2025 crawfish season. It's expected to be better than the last 2 years, which were not that great. Last year was supposed to be a disaster. It wasn't that bad. I had more crawfish last year than I remember having in recent years, and I thought they were big and plentiful, and the price wasn't that bad. So I enjoyed crawfish last year, even though there was a prediction that it was going to be such a horrible year because of the drought and other weather conditions. But at this point, based on the development of things right now, the 2025 crawfish season expected to be better than last year and the year before. All right, let's go to Ian. Do you have some text messages?
Sorry, no. I'm looking at the picture of the dog on top of the pier. I didn't know about that story. I was like, ooh, I better Google that up real quick. That is hilarious. You can see him right up there. He's a good boy. Who's a good boy on top of the pyramid? Yes, you are.
Some of those stones are huge.
Oh, no, they are enormous.
So how did the dog climb up? I mean, did the dog maybe go up to the pyramid to, you know, lift a leg and then decide, well, what the hell, I'm
just jump up here. Now, look, I haven't been to the pyramids of Giza, but I think I understand, like, the individual blocks are much taller than one human. So it's not like the dog can just jump from one layer to the next, right?
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, how did he get up there?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out more about this, but just a live dog on the top of the Great Pyramid is pretty strange.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't think it's possible it was... You don't think it was aliens?
Well, it could have been.
Because the aliens helped build the pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me how the Egyptians back then, how they moved those blocks like that. You tell me how they built those pyramids.
Bro, the aliens had ships with giant claws, and they would pick up these stones with their big ass claws, and they built a pyramid like that. So maybe they put the dog up there.
You know, there's a whole series, Ancient Aliens, and it's really pretty fascinating to think about aliens visiting the planet, you know, centuries ago, and you look at some of the strange phenomenon in the world, and, you know, really, aliens are the best explanation.
I'll just leave you with this one. This text says, how do we know it's not an AI-generated photo of a dog on top of the Great Pyramid? It's a good question, because it's video. The guy flew over. You can see his little feet sticking out in front of him while he's paragliding around out there. And then he's, you know, you zoom in and you can see there's a good boy running around on top of the pyramid. All right, I know I said that was the last one.
How does he get down?
The dog?
Yeah.
It's the same way he got up.
I guess.
The aliens come by with the big ass claw and they give him a milk bone and say,
come on,
here, boy, come on. We're going downstairs. You're screwing this up for everybody. I'll leave you with this text from Kenneth in Raceland is listening today. He's got a hopeful message for the Who Dat Nation. He says, you got 11 games left and anything can happen.
Well, that's right. I mean, the Saints have only lost 4 games. And I tell you, there's some divisions where, you know, the Saints would have less of a chance than in the division they're in, because the leader, the two leading teams are at 4-2. So I'm not giving up on the Saints. I'm going to be excited to see them in the Dome tonight, and I hope you are too. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll come back with more of your... I guess we're going to come back to wrap up the show. God, this was just such a quick show. These abbreviated shows are just so fast. Let's see. What do I have here? On this day... I forget the year. I don't have, well, here it is. Wait a minute. No, that's not it. All right, here it is. On this day in 1977, Lynyrd Skynyrd released the album Street Survivors. It had this song on it. It was the last album with frontman Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Steve Gaines, because both were killed 3 days earlier when the plane crashed on its way to Baton Rouge. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, sports coverage of the Saints game tonight starts coming up next with First Take. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and as always, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot on the air. Go Saints. Love you, New Orleans.